Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here today. Thank you for sharing part of your weekend with Seymour Christian Church. And what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We begin this month, this week, a study of the book of Proverbs, which will be the study for the month of July. Proverbs is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. They're found in the very center of the Bible. The wisdom books are Job. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And wisdom is mentioned throughout the book. In fact, it is the theme of the book of Proverbs, is wisdom. The wisdom books are different than the rest of the Old Testament. They're not like law. They're not like the prophecy. It's not like the law, because the law is things that we must do and must not do, written by Moses, straight from the mouth of God. Many times you hear the phrase, thou shalt or thou shalt not, in the law. Well, wisdom books are not prophecy either. Prophecy is from the mouth of God to a prophet and from the prophet to the people. Many times it says, thus saith the Lord. So you know it's not the prophet speaking, but it's God's voice. But the wisdom books are accumulated insight from God's people on how we should live. Keep in mind as we study the wisdom books, as we study Proverbs, that these are not promises, but principles. These are guiding rules, and yes, there are some exceptions to these rules, but those exceptions are rare. I think that's why sometimes when something happens that is out of the ordinary, we always scream, it's not fair, it's not fair, because almost always a certain behavior gets a certain result. And these are great principles. Interesting, this word, chokmah, the Hebrew word that is translated many times wisdom in the Bible. It means not only wisdom, but it also means an acquired set of skills that someone maybe through practice or through honing their trade or through trial and error or by reading others who have gone before them can learn a certain skill set. Think of like a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, someone who has honed and tested and practiced their skills to the point where they have wisdom, not just knowledge, but wisdom in that. And the good news for us is that we can hone our skills. We can become wise through testing and through practicing and through reading and through study, and that we can become a wise person who has great results, who has a life that is successful and full of joy and peace and hope and encouragement for others. The second theme of the book of Proverbs is the fool. The fool is the opposite of the wise. The fool is unteachable. He refuses to learn. He refuses to try to hone his skills and acquire knowledge and be good for others. So we're studying today Proverbs. What is a proverb? What is a proverb? Yeah, it's a wise saying. They're often very easy to remember, that offers truth and wisdom in a way that we can understand it. The author of most of the book of Proverbs is a man named Solomon. Yes, that Solomon, the king who is the son of David, who we're told in 1 Kings chapter 3 was the wisest who ever lived. Says no one before him is as wise as him, no one who comes after him. So you and I can hope to maybe get as close to Solomon, but we're not going to pass him. He's the wisest that ever lived. And in line between David and Jesus. So if you're going to take advice from someone, who should you take advice from? Yeah, the wisest who ever lived, and that's what we're going to do here today. Three parts of the book of Proverbs. Let's go through this quickly. The first part is chapters 1 through 9, if you're taking notes. The first 9 chapters comprise 10 speeches from a loving father to his son and 4 lessons from Lady Wisdom. So it's the good father and Lady Wisdom. 10 speeches from a father to his son. Tell him how to order his life. They're great advice. Covers many topics. The love of a father is very deep, and it's different than the love of a friend. Because a friend cares more about your approval and your acceptance than your overall success. But the father doesn't care so much for your approval and acceptance. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be good in life. Father will give you hard truths and at times tough love. He wants what is best for you for a lifetime and what he wishes someone would have told him when he was your age. So when you read those first 9 chapters and you see him talk to my son, pay attention to those. It is great advice for how to live. And then 4 times, Lady Wisdom speaks. It's as if wisdom has become personified. And Lady Wisdom calls out in the street. She calls out in the field. She calls out in the cities and in the countryside. And when she speaks, she weaves truth into the fabric of the universe. She explains the world in which we live and how obeying God can open the doors to joy, peace, and success. One commentator I studied said it this way. Said, when she speaks, she gives motivation to live morally and ingrain with the universe. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when you work with wood, you always work with the grain. It goes so much smoother, so much easier. And Lady Wisdom is telling us how to work within the universe God created with the grain. The second part of Proverbs is chapters 10 through 29. I'll say that again, chapters 10 through 29. They are the Proverbs of Solomon. I always had a theory on this, that Solomon just kept a little book with him. And whenever he was getting ready in the morning or walking through a field or riding in his chariot, he would think of something really wise and think, you know what, somebody will enjoy this. So he would write it down. Or maybe because he was king and he was wealthy, he had an intern who would follow him around and who would do that for him. But these are hundreds of just short, witty, oftentimes unconnected to the verse before it or after it. But there are things that you can build your life on from the wisest man who ever lived. And I bet you know some of them. Let me start them and see if you can help me finish. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Yes. Pride cometh before a fall. Yes. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And it goes on. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. A soft answer turns away wrath. Exactly. A cheerful heart is good medicine. And he goes on in another place and says, as iron sharpens iron. Look at us. We're 3,000 years exactly later, and we still know these. That's how witty they were. That's how memorable they were. That's the truths that they give us, that we were given them as children, and we will pass them on to our children. They cover a multitude of topics, such as friendship and family, how to deal with your neighbors. They talk about work and laziness, wealth and poverty. Talk about debt and forgiveness. They talk about sex and marriage, over abuse of alcohol and anger, all through this filter that makes the reader understand there is absolute truth in this universe. There are some things that are right, that are always right for all people, for all places, and for all times, and there are things that are wrong. And that right behavior leads to good results, and wrong behavior leads to bad results. That's how we can know right from wrong. And then the final section, chapters 30 and 31, are really interesting. Chapter 30 is written by a man named Agur. We don't know who Agur was. There's nothing else in the Bible about him. And in the first 3 or 4 verses, he admits, I'm a dummy. I don't know anything. He mentions that he is, you know, chief of those who don't know a thing. And then he goes on to write how I must listen to the word of God. I must listen to God's people when they speak, and I must apply, not just know, but also do what they say. And I would say his theory works, because Agur wrote a chapter of the Bible, and it's in a wisdom book called Proverbs, and the rest of the book is written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon, when he put this book together, thought, I need Agur in my book. I would say it worked. That his humility and his lack of understanding led to increased wisdom. And then finally, chapter 31, really interesting, is written by a man named King Lemuel. And if you look through Scripture, you will not find a King Lemuel in the history of Israel, nor in the history of Judah. There's no King Lemuel. There's no King Lemuel in a country nearby. But it's interesting, that word Lemuel, it means devoted to the Lord. So he's saying, I'm the king of those who are devoted to the Lord. In other words, I'm God's main man. Some think it was Hezekiah, some think it was Solomon, others think perhaps another king or just an individual who's sharing wisdom. But what's so interesting about this chapter 31, it starts off with, he says, this is advice that my mama gave me when I was young. And then he writes all of what mama used to say. Made me think of the movie Forrest Gump, where often through the movie he'd go, mama always said, and then he would say something really wise. Then he ends his book in an acrostic describing a godly wife, that each description of a godly wife goes from the A, B's, and C's. I realize Hebrew didn't have A, B, C's, that alphabet, and I forget the third. Anyway, but it's an acrostic that describes a godly wife. And interesting that he starts off with Lady Wisdom at the beginning of the book and ends with sayings from his mother and what a godly wife is like. So let's go ahead and get started with a study of the book of Proverbs. We're going to read in chapter 1. If you have your text with you, I'd ask you to turn to that now. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses of the book of Proverbs. And let's read together the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we come now before you asking that you would open our hearts, open our minds, that you would speak to us. Father, give us understanding, give us wisdom to be your people, to represent you to a world that so desperately needs a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's the introduction. He says, wisdom is attainable. Success, joy, peace, hope, comfort, so many things are available to us if we would receive instruction. Look with me there at verse 3 again, where he talks about we can receive instruction. It's possible, but a first step would be humility. You have to realize, I don't know it all. Maybe we should say that together. Can we all say that together as a body of believers? I don't know it all. One more time, make sure God hears you. I don't know it all. The easiest way I can illustrate this, who made 100% in school on every test they ever took? 100% on every test they ever took. Yeah, we realize we don't know it all, but too many times in life, don't we act like we know it all? We're unteachable. He says, for those, if you would receive instruction, look what it gives you. Prudent behavior, the ability to do what is right and just and fair. And we can be generous with others. If we do accept it, it changes us. We can become righteous, just, and fair people. Jesus told a proverb once, a tree is known by its fruit. And you can tell a wise person by looking at how they act. It's a two-step process, he says in Proverbs, and I want to, oh, thank you, Brother Aaron, for moving that for me. I want to illustrate this the best way I know how. The two-step process, first is you have to know it, and then you have to do it. And the best way I can explain it is a chart that I've got here. How much percentage would you say we know of God's word of right and wrong? What percentage would you say you know of right and wrong? Throw out a number. Oh, Don, I bet you know more than 1%. Like, you know it's wrong to murder, right? You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to lie. you know, it's right to love and to be generous and to be kind. What percentage do you think of God's word do we know as an average? 50? Oh, I would hope more. Somebody said 60? 75? See, I'm thinking we're a well-educated, well-rounded body. Can I say 80? Just, I think we know God's word. We study it. We look at it. And a lot of times we just hear it from each other. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, that was a good job. You did that. So let's say a person knows 80% of right from wrong. We may be shortchanging them a little bit. Now, that's important because you can't do what is right unless, first of all, you know what is right. So it's important to know. But what do you think the average person does right from wrong? Yeah, the average person. Let's talk about your neighbor. How about that? Make it fun. What percentage does the person you're sitting beside? Yeah, add your left and your right together and then divide by two. Give me the average. What would you say is the average that we know what is right? I heard 50. Who? Give me 55, 55, 55. 60? 50? So should we just say about 55? All right, I'll see if I can call her in 55%. All right. Now, I do all that to say this. In your life, personal, and in the church, we've got two roles. One is we need to increase what we know, isn't it? Isn't it true? I can't do what's right unless first I know that I need to be doing what's right. So in your life, you do need to study. And you come to church, we do need to open up the word and explain more so that if you came in 80, you should leave and it's 81. But we're not judged by what we know. Otherwise, the demons would be assured of heaven. We're judged by what we do. So we have to increase our knowledge, but more so, we need to increase our doing what is right, loving, being generous, being kind. And so in church, I think Proverbs is perfect for this because it not only gives us knowledge of right and wrong and what, how we should be living with our God in the universe, but it also motivates us to now do what is right. In the book, many times he talks about the good, the wise, the fool, and the scoffer. The wise is the one who knows what is right and does what is right. The fool is the one that doesn't even know what is right, hasn't even opened up the book, hasn't even talked to people, hasn't done research. That's the fool. The scoffer or the evil is the one who knows what is right and on purpose chooses to do what is wrong. And that's the book of Proverbs. It's here to educate and to motivate. And then finally, before leaving, I want us to focus on that verse 7. Let's read it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This phrase is repeated several times. You know, we learn through repetition, and several times, Solomon in the book, as you read it, you'll be seeing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. If you want to begin a journey of gaining wisdom and the skill that it takes to live in this life, the first step, the foundation, you know, every building out there has a foundation. And the building is as strong as the foundation it's built upon. And the foundation of your wisdom will be the fear of the Lord. That's not a terror of God or being scared of God, but it's a moral admission that he is above me, that I don't know everything, but he does. And that if he says it, I will do it. We acknowledge that he is the creator, that he is the great judge. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and the giver of all good things. And that's the first step. If you can accept that, then there's hope for you. And if you can't accept that, well, there's no hope for you. Here's a pattern they're going to throw up on the screen that I've noticed. It happens in the book of Proverbs, and we see it here in this first paragraph. That if you have the fear of the Lord, then that leads to you becoming a person of virtue. you'll become a better person, a good person. You will have integrity. I remember going to a Promise Keepers rally one time, and one of the speakers had been an admiral in the Navy, and before that he was a captain of a ship. And he said whenever he took leave and the ship had been in dock for repairs, before he got on board, he would ask the people, does the ship have integrity? The exact same word. And you know what that means? Is it taking on water? And if they said, yeah, it's got 99.5% integrity, would he load it up with sailors and take off? No. Unless the ship had complete integrity, it was of no use. And we are called to be people of integrity. So fear of the Lord leads to virtue, integrity, generosity. And then when you become a person who is virtuous and has integrity and has generosity, then you'll have a life of success, joy, and that should say peace there instead of pride. Success, joy, and peace. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Yes, they're rare. They do happen. But this is wisdom from the wisest man who ever lived. He saw thousands of people being king and said, this is a pattern I've noticed in life. And then the opposite is true. That if you are a person who is a fool, if we can go to the next slide. If you're a person who is a fool or an evil, that would be someone who doesn't know right or someone who knows right and doesn't do right, then that leads to selfishness and pride. And having a life that is built on selfishness and pride, that will lead to ruin and to shame. Great wisdom, amen? Amen. The good news for us is the choice is ours. This book wouldn't have been written if wisdom was impossible. Think about that. If it was impossible for you to change, to become wiser as you get older, then Solomon would never have written this. He wrote this because the choice is yours. It's up to you. It's up to me. We can hone our skills. We can gain wisdom. We can learn how to apply what we know and live a life full of success, joy, and peace. Raise your hand if you would like a life full of joy, success, peace, hope, encouragement, comfort. Amen. It's a full house full of raised hands. So we need to know what is right and do what is right. I have a challenge for you as we wrap up what we're doing here today. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's perfect because in July there are 31 days. I know a group of men who every day of the month read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day. As a, for instance, today is July 6th, so guess what chapter of Proverbs they're reading? They're reading chapter 6. And when they get together, it's the inmates who are Christians at the Edinburgh Correction Facility where we do Kairos. And when they get together, I hear them in the mornings talk about the proverb that they read that day. And I'm sure someone today has said, hey, did you read chapter 6 yet? Oh, yeah, it was great. Oh, it's always my favorite. I love chapter 6. Whenever I wake up on the 6th, as soon as I get up, I run straight to my Bible. And I was going to see if we as a church body this month would read the proverb chapter that corresponds to the day of the month. Would you do that? Would you signify you're going to do that by saying amen? Amen. Let's read in. If you want to go back and catch up on the first 5, that's fine. Or if you want to wait till August and continue the trend, because guess what? August also has 31 days. And if it would be great to let this wisdom from God through his servant Solomon and Agur and Lemuel come upon us and start to apply it in our lives, the reading of God's word, and not just the knowledge, but the wisdom, the doing what you know is right.